Welcome, everyone, one and all, to the BAM Comic Podcast podcast?
Yeah.
The BAM Comic Podcast podcast.
Technically.
It works, right? Yeah. It works. You're with me, right? Basically, if it's about comic books, comic book movies, comic book games, comic books, it's going to be right here on the BAM Comic Book Pod. Oh, I biffed it. Right.
Staying in.
Stick with me, right? If it's about comic books, right, listener, it's going to be right here on the BAM Comic Book Podcast. There. Seamless. Seamless, right? Seamless. Welcome to issue 33 of the BAM Comic Book Podcast. It's me, your boy, Neil Gortz, back once again to talk about all things comic books. Joining me, as always...
It's true. I've worked out I'm the only one who's done every single episode.
You are. Yeah. You are. You're the keeper. Yeah. That voice you can hear is Stu. Hello, Stu.
Hello.
Hello, Stu. What have we got in store today?
If I'm totally honest...
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's flying blind.
No. We've got comics.
For a rare treat for you all, we're actually going to talk about comics today. Because normally it's about TVs or movies, but we're a comic book podcast, and we've been reading a lot of comic books in the interim, so we're going to talk about those. First of all, though, when I've not been reading comic books, I have been downloading, thank you, Sony PlayStation's summer promotion, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games that were out last gen, 360, PS3.
It's got to be 10 years ago now, really.
2006, the first one was out.
Oh, Jesus, that's 11 years ago.
That is 2 years pre-Iron Man.
Yeah.
So I've been downloading that. I played the second one when I was a boy reviewing video games, and I've never really had a chance to sit and really enjoy them just for the sake of enjoying them. So... they were cheap enough. Thought I'm having that. And I've started playing them. And let me tell you, it is bizarre. It is bizarre to play a Marvel game before the modern MCU is established.
Right.
Like, it is testament to Marvel and the characters that you know where you are with these characters almost as soon as you see them or start interacting with them. But, like, it's weird because they're all slightly off, like, how they should be looking. Like, Black Widow... has long red hair, thick Russian accent.
That's who she is in the comics.
Who she is in the comics. But, like, you know, like, to the casual MCU... we can't even call them casual now, is there? If you've stuck with every MCU movie, you're hardcore.
Yeah.
But, like, she's there. Luke Cage is sort of, like, 8 foot tall, wraparound sunglasses, big gold medallion, black turtleneck.
Has he got the tiara? Or they
you can unlock that as a classic costume. Brilliant. But yeah, it's quite bizarre in terms of the year 2006, who Marvel considered, like, their big heavy hitters. Yeah. Like, the whole thing is obviously you assemble your Ultimate Alliance, your four-man squad of all of the Marvel roster. And so, like, their heavy hitters is, like, Spider-Man, fair enough. Captain America, fair enough. And, like, they have Wolverine, but it's, like, 2006, the Wolverine movie's just come out, Wolverine, so it's just Wolverine in, like, white army vest.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, like, I actually find myself scrabbling to unlock his classic costume as quickly as possible. It's just, like, just unrecognisable.
Mm.
And, of course, it's, like, again, 2006 technology, they've all got great sound quotes. Like, Luke Cage's only sound quote is pretty much just, like, damn. And, like, Wolverine's like, ha, take that, sucker.
Yeah.
It's like, But, yeah, it's bizarre. Like, even back in 2006, it's weird to see who they considered big enough to on, like, the roster that you get unlocked straight away. Like, Deadpool's in there.
I was going to ask you, I know your favourite. Was he quite prominent?
He is quite prominent in the initial roster that you can pick. Also, which sort of took me aback a bit, was Moon Knight.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought, but, like, you know, 10 years ago, they had something in mind for Moon Knight. I first encountered Moon Knight in Spider-Man Friend or Foe, which also would have been about that time.
Yeah.
They were heavily pushing Moon Knight.
But they've always tried. He's not a character who's ever got the traction.
He's
like Marvel's answer to Batman.
And it's just bizarre that he's never really taken off. But yeah, he's there. You've got... some of the Fantastic Four, but not all.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you must unlock them later. But yeah. Who would be in your four-man dream team?
I don't know, because funny enough, you say that. I fairly recently have been playing Marvel Heroes Omega.
Oh, okay.
Omega, if you're from the UK.
Omega.
Omega. Which is, I guess, the modern take on the Ultimate Alliance. It's pretty much the same game.
Yeah.
But it's an MMO. Your massively multiplayer online game, which is free to play on Xbox, which is why I downloaded it, because, you know, I thought my only experience of MMOs was a brief dabbling in Warcraft.
You got lucky.
So yeah, it's actually, as a free to play game, I kind of thought, oh, they're going to lock loads of stuff out. You're going to have to spend real monies.
Yeah.
But actually, you can. I think I spent a couple of nights on that. I leveled up. You can have players. You choose a character, and you pretty much any character you want as a base character, and you can just raise her. I think it's Hulk because I'm predictable.
Obvs.
But yeah, it was kind of nice to play that. And actually, that you said about Black Widow, their Black Widow was also redheaded and Russian as
Okay.
Which, you know, if you've come from the movies now, you're like, why is Scarlett Johansson talking the funny voice? But no, I have fond memories of the original Ultimate Alliance. I don't think I ever played the second one.
Okay. So yeah, the second one is basically they use Civil War as the main storyline.
Okay, no, I definitely haven't played that then.
That is my entire understanding of the Civil War story comes from that game.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how authentic it is. It definitely has the same start, I know that much, and then it just sort of veers off and you end up...
the town gets blown up. Okay.
And then they have the Registration Act, and then, it goes off in all directions. Yeah. You end up in Wakanda, because Wakanda... fair enough.
Yeah.
But it's good. I'm just replaying the first one just now. That's got pre-Sam Jackson Nick Fury.
Marvellous.
So it's just, the white guy in the shield uniform going, "God damn, Doctor Doom is attacking us again." Doctor Doom is the big villain. Never really seen on the big screen because it just
Not done right.
And Marvel never really got him back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's the big bad in that one. It's just like, it's quite nice to have him doing about.
Actually saying that, it's kind of reminded me that, I can't remember, there were so many, Lego Marvel... one of them. I don't think it was Lego Marvel Avengers, because I think that was based on the MCU.
Yeah.
It was one before that, which was based
heroes,
on based on all the comic characters. That kind of felt spiritually like the Ultimate Alliance games, because it had all different types of
characters. Surprisingly deep cuts. Mm. Like, one of the first bosses you go up against is like Fing Fang Foom, and you're like, what?
Yes.
What? But like, it's amazing. There's so much fan service in the game, but it's like dated so much. Like, they make like throwaway references to like comic book storylines on the time that just don't, you're like, I kind of remember what happened, or I don't know. There's just like two characters like, it's like a journal that you can read off someone's laptop, and it's like, oh wow, I saw like Wolverine yesterday on the bridge of the helicarrier, and it's like, pfft, no, he didn't. It's like, we didn't see him get his claws out, but he was like shouting at Nick Fury for, treating Tony Stark poorly. And I'm like, at the time when this game came out, that was probably like an amazing Easter egg. Yeah. Now I'm just like, that Wolverine would rubbish. Never yeah. be on a helicarrier. What is going on? What? But yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I'm loving it. It's very Diablo light. Yeah. Just wander through corridors, bashing up Doom bots and AIM troopers. AIM troopers? Like, AIM never really came back.
Hasn't made it into the MCU. I think AIM is in the comics.
Yeah.
I think they've become like a more of a benevolent organisation now in one of the Avengers. I think it's the US Avengers. I think AIM are in that.
Right.
Hydra's come to more prevalence.
Yeah.
I think off the back of the Winter Soldier. So in the comics, they're now like... Empire storyline.
It is the biggest bad.
Yeah. And they're always quite lame, I thought, in the 80s and 90s when I was reading comics. They're always a bit of like they were bad, but they were never really on the same level.
Yeah, they were like generic disposable troops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm having great fun playing it, just smashing through the first one. It just sort of got me thinking, because we are on the back of some video game comic books.
Adverts on the back of Quake Champions.
Yeah, there's a few Bethesda titles coming out.
Wolfenstein 2,
Dishonored. They all have comics.
Yeah,
it's just quite interesting. Like, you know, every so often, video games will have comics come out about them. To like, they either do it for two reasons. I find it's either to like increase the lore, like Quake Champions. Yeah. Like, it's not a deep story driven game, but like, research is like the audience wants to address or wants to connect with these characters more, so like they continue it with like comics. I think Mass Effect Andromeda recently put out a statement saying they weren't working on the game anymore, but they would continue the story in comic books.
Right.
And yeah, it's just interesting to see. Like, recently there's been a big run of like Atari like had this deal with Dynamite to like put out the old arcade titles. And I think that's more of a case of, I mean, the one that we picked up, you thrust Centipede into my hand. You're like,
the comic, not just the metaphor.
Just an actual like centipede scrolling around. And I think that's more just to be able to retain the license.
Yeah.
Because you have to like show that you're still actively working with the license and doing stuff with it. Otherwise, people will say, well, you can't have the copyright to Centipede anymore because Centipede could be anything. But then you can turn around and say, well, we have... I think you find we have this latest comic line. So, yeah. So, one of the titles I've been reading as of recently is Centipede.
How does it work?
Not a one-shot. I think it's a four-parter. I think it's a four-parter. It's basically some guy... wakes up and he's like, well, the whole world was destroyed because an intergalactic centipede crashed through a wormhole. And you're like, right?
Okay.
Right? And it's literally just, yeah. The art in it is really nice. It just gets it over, basically.
He's gone for like a realistic approach, right?
Yeah. Sort of. Like, he's basically locked away in a military bunker, but he's by no means like a big hero. And yeah, he just wakes up in a world wrecked and... has to go and start dealing with the whole, you know, the world's been destroyed. What am I going to do about it as the last surviving human? You know, like, I would never have saw Centipede, you know, sitting there putting your 10p's into a centipede machine. Like, all these years later, it would have its own comic run exploring, like, the dark lore to it. I don't necessarily know if I would recommend it off the bat, but, like, I'm impressed what they did to, like, you know, eke out a storyline from it. It's encouraging.
It's not what I expected, but I guess it is kind of carte blanche because the plot was we've just been invaded by aliens.
I mean, yeah, like you literally just have, like you say, carte blanche. Like you know more than just staring at a screen. But I remember as a kid, like going to the arcades, like always building up stories in my head as to why this mattered or why I'm doing this, because you never really got it playing the arcade machines. I suppose it's perfect medium.
I guess for me, the closer I come to that was probably Space Invaders, purely because the arcade cabinet looked different to what you saw on screen. Like, I remember vividly the side of the arcade cabinet had this kind of like humanoid monster with these like lightning bolts in its head or something.
And
then you see the game and you're like, what?
That doesn't mean anything. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like even in the back of it, it's got like, there's so many other titles being released. Like, I know Udon have like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
We've touched on Street Fighter before. It's
Killer Instinct as well.
Yeah, Killer Instinct again. It's like all these games where you get so heavily drawn into the characters but know nothing really about them.
It's weird.
It's big.
So did you ever read Eagle?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember a comic strip called The Computer Warrior?
I do not, but I feel like I should.
It might predate it. So basically, back in the 80s.
This
seems like a regular thing I say on every show. One of the first comics I got on a regular basis was Eagle. They relaunched that in the early 80s.
Loved it.
Like, it was your man Dan Dare, who it has been recently announced that Titan Comics are...
You bring back Dan Dare?
Bring back Dan Dare, October, November. Which I've been reliably informed will have an amazing advert for the Bam Comic Book Podcast. Yeah.
Great podcast. You guys should listen to it.
But yeah, so yeah, it was led with Dan Dare, and each weekly issue had a series of 5-page strips. One of them, I remember vividly, was The Computer Warrior, which I say remember vividly. If I remember, this the main arcing story was it was a young lad who... there was an overarching storyline where he has to take on the bad guys or has to take down some kind of like computer-based villain.
Yeah.
And this was told through him, very Tron-like, going into video game worlds. But it was tied into current UK, really, video games, like the Commodore 64 or Spectrum.
Yeah.
I can't think of an example. But I don't know. Imagine what was a classic game back in those era.
Like
Jungle Run, that sort of thing.
Yeah, something like that. Or even actually, yeah, even saying something like Centipede. So it'll be him going into like the Centipede world for like a few weeks' time, taking on that. And it was literally just an advert, because you'd have an advert for the entire game, really. So that to me was like my probably first memory of a video game tie-in comic. And it almost felt like they couldn't do a story on their own. They had to kind of tie it into kind of like another storyline.
Had to wait. Yeah. I mean, God, it was just... We keep coming back to the same carte blanche, but there were so many great IPs that could have come out of that. But yeah, fair play. I can't think of a current video game at the moment I'd want to see a comic of. But there's lots of it out there. I saw a friend of the show, Andy Ewington's Got the World of Tanks comic.
That must be again, it's carte blanche.
Again, it's like an MMO, but people want to like connect with more. I mean, like, people spend hundreds of hours on it and want to you just want to give some semblance to what they're doing.
I can answer your question now.
Go on then.
You said about I can't think of any video games. I just thought of one off my head.
Right.
One of my all time favourite games, which I'm pretty sure has never had a comic book adaptation.
Okay.
BioShock.
Ooh.
The original one, the good one, set in
you mean the second
in Rapture.
Yeah. Second one's better.
Well, that's fine. I won't argue that, because it's still set in the same era.
No, that could, again, there's so many more stories that could come out of that. Yeah. I'd read that.
Yeah.
I'd read that.
Actually, yeah, well, they must have done something, like, even for like a collector's edition of the game, they must have done some kind of comic book stuff, like Tales from Rapture. Because I love the whole universe, the idea of this under the sea, there's this city.
Mm.
If
you haven't, you should pitch it. You should pitch it. Yeah.
There you go.
Get them on the phone.
Yeah, 2K Games.
Give us a bell.
Yeah, we're on it. So, it wouldn't surprise me if Titan ended up picking out the rights of that or something.
Yeah, they seem to have a monopoly on video game comics. So, hopefully. So
there's one game I'd love to see comics on.
Yeah, you just want more lore. Yeah. That's it in a nutshell.
Have Bethesda done Fallout? Have they done comics on Fallout?
No, that was one I was thinking about, and I wonder why.
There was a graphic novel with...
Was there?
Yes, it was part of a collector's edition for New Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was like a prelude to the events of the game.
How you end up.
Yeah, it's in Lost somewhere. I've got a part of the collector's edition. It was all right. I don't remember it leaving much of a lasting impression.
But then I suppose, yeah, if Fallout and games like that are so open to exploring an adventure, like, would you just endlessly be trapped in fan service? Or
I guess so. Yeah, you'd want to get the fans happy by having characters that appear in the game. But like with any kind of license that's tied in, you're limited by continuity.
Mm.
You know, same with the Star Wars comics. Yeah, you can't have, you know, Luke Skywalker getting killed, or a major character getting killed, or even something majorly happening, like, you know, him bumping into Obi-Wan Kenobi or something as a kid. Yeah, the stuff like that you can't do, because the movies are set.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Again, with video games, you know, there's a main storyline, they are kind of locked in, so you have to kind of play in that playground, but you can't move it.
Because that's why Star Wars just, like, wiped the slate, didn't they, when... Force Awakens came out. They just basically said any tie-in that you've played previously.
Yeah.
Did they make an exception?
No, they haven't made an exception. I think they just said that anything that happens now in novels or comics is continuity.
Is canon. Anything before that, you can't take it as canon.
They did bring in, was it a character, a Thrawn?
Yeah.
Who was a major character in the trilogy of books.
The Earth, set, the Empire one. Yeah,
set up for the Jedi, but they basically brought him into the current continuity, but it's different. You know, it's the same character, but it's different continuity.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they call it legacy now. Anything that happened before is legacy. Which some people get bent out of shape. But at the end of the day, it's like, unless it's in the movie, it's never going to be 100%.
We've come a long way as dorks, where we can have like a legacy.
Yep. Legacy of dorks.
Legacy of dorks. There's a comic.
Yeah. Copyright that now.
So, speaking of Star Wars.
Go on.
In the interim, I have been sticking with the Darth Vader comic. I wasn't sure if I was going to.
Yeah, you spoke about that a few episodes ago, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. And we're now coming up to the 5th issue. I've stuck with it.
Blimey.
And I'm pleased to report it's kind of turned itself around.
Oh. It's no Darth Maul.
Maybe Darth Maul got good, but I just wasn't prepared to give it. And what worried me, for those that don't remember that far back, is Darth Vader was off to a very similar start.
Yeah.
But it's alright. It's alright. Darth Vader eventually gets to become a real asshole. Okay. A real evil piece of work. I liked it. When we left him, he'd been marooned on a planet, and the Emperor said, well, go and find yourself a lightsaber, because I just burned all the other lightsabers. The only way you're going to do that is by fighting a Jedi. So he does. He launches down on this planet, and the one Jedi that's there has been completely oblivious to the events of the first three movies, because he's like, I'm training myself in the art of war.
Right.
And it's really dangerous for everyone, so I'm just hiding myself away, and when I emerge, I'm going to become the best warrior Jedi ever, and I'll be useful. So he's completely shut himself off, and he's sort of woken up now, stopped meditating with these fighty robots. Like, he goes and fights fighty robots to train himself on a ravine every day. He's been chucking them off the side. Doesn't really think of them as anything. I love that sort of thing in Star Wars where, like, droids are really second-class citizens.
Yeah.
Like, he chucks it off a cliff and really doesn't think anything about it. Like, oh, well, I'll just get another one in the morning. And the droid's like, oh, my. I can't feel my legs.
Yeah.
Which I liked. But anyway, like, he senses Darth Vader's coming. And this planet isn't unpopulated, but sparsely populated. And Darth Vader sort of basically appears down the bottom of the cliff and is like, I'm coming to give you a sound kicking. And Jenna's like, no, you're not. It was almost like Monty Python in the French Castle.
Oh, okay.
It's like, come on, Zen Sith. Do your worst. First, you have to climb up the mountain of death. Darth's like, oh, I'm just bloody had new legs and an arm. But up he climbs.
Yeah.
And it was at this point, I'm just like, oh, if it's going to be a whole comic of this, then no. But sure enough, he climbs to the top of the cliff and they have a little face off. But of course, he's got no lightsaber yet.
Mm.
So this Jedi, who's been training himself in the ultimate art of war, bodies him easily and just kicks Darth Vader off the side. So he's just smacked down the bottom of a ravine like, I'm broken, ouch. And that's where it left off. And I'm like, you know what? That's pretty cold.
Yeah.
I could be into this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where we left off. And I picked it up from there. Going like, okay, so how does body Darth Vader become the Darth Vader that we know? And this is what I like. Jedi guys like wander back to civilization and he's like, right, get my ship ready. Looks like the Sith are back. I'm going to have to go and sort them out. To which point, he doesn't even bother going to finish off Darth Vader. He's just like, I've chucked a Sith off a cliff. He'll be dead in a couple of hours. Internal bleeding and all that. So Darth's lying at the bottom of the mountain. And the droid's like rubbing it in like, oh yes, I got chucked off a cliff too. Oh my, we're both in for the scrap heap. To which Darth uses the force, tears that robot and all the other robots apart and like basically rebuilds his legs and arms that have been mangled in the fall. So like he's now walking like the bright, like Frankenstein's monster. Yeah. Plus he's got like the training sparring sword to like go and beat up this Jedi now. That takes a whole issue.
Right,
finally catches up with the other Jedi. The Jedi's like, oh, come on, is my ship not ready? He's pacing back and forth on this dam, overlooks a small village. And Darth's like, round two, motherfucker. It's like, oh, come on, I chucked you off a cliff last time. Like, just give it up. Yeah. I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to kill whoever your mysterious master is. Yeah. He's like, fight me, stop talking, please, I need this. So he's like, all right then, come and fight me on the top of the dam. To which he does. And then Darth tries to use the choke on him. And he's like, not so easy, I'm a master. I'm the ultimate fighting Jedi. To which Darth's like, fuck, he's right. So whilst dueling away with a practice saber, Darth's like, I've got a plan. And he uses his mind powers to like burst the dam. And the Jedi's like, no, you can't. There's innocent people down there. And Darth's like, yep.
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Kills 1,000 people in one go by flooding the dam. And of course, the Jedi's like, oh my God, I can't believe you did. And the Jedi's so caught up with Darth killing people. Darth uses it to like finally position him and choke him out with the force. And I'm like, all right, this is an evil Darth. And he's like rubbing it in. He's like, the mistake you... I don't know why he's gone all Bane. The mistake you made is caring for people. And I'm like, Darth has a saber now. I like how they've done this. And again, it's like you were saying earlier, like they can't tread over continuity.
Yeah.
But I like this. What I wanted way back in issue one was Darth getting ready and like reacquainting himself with like this new body that he has. Didn't get it straight away, but in this one he's now got like clunky legs and arms, and he's sort of getting used to to it again and sort of fulfilling his potential. I'm like, I've got a lot of time for this. So I might, I mean, it's new writers from where we last left off a couple of seasons ago, but they're going to make him this fucking evil.
That does sound good, actually.
Yeah.
And that, was that the first four issues?
Yeah, first four issues. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I'll stick with it then. I owe you that much, sir. Yeah.
Cool.
You have a stash of comics.
I do.
What have you got from
Let's do... Yeah, Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Who?
Mr. Miracle. So, in the last episode, we spoke about Jack Kirby.
And
the Fourth World New Gods array of characters. One of which was Mr. Miracle, who is, apart from being garishly costumed in red and yellow and green, is the greatest escape artist of all time.
That's his thing.
Yeah, and basically he was brought up on Apocalypse, the world that Darkseid presides over.
Okay.
And they brought him back for a new series. It's going to be a limited series. They've already said this. It's going to be 12 issues. Written by Tom King, who I have harped on about, who wrote The Vision.
And is currently writing
Batman.
Yeah.
With art by Mitch Sherards.
Mm-hmm.
And like The Vision, it's a really deep dive, densely written... quirky Lynchian. I don't know, I'm through.
Yeah, we keep throwing Lynchian in.
We do, and without going into too much detail, basically it's about he's trying to do the ultimate escape, and that's going to escape death. Okay. It's the kind of the elevator pitch.
I like it.
Yeah, and that's all I want to say on it. Okay. But I'm only one issue in. I will say it's very, very good.
Okay.
I think it's sold out most places. It's quite hard to get hold of now, but yeah, get on that. Digital if you have to. Definitely
Go for it.
So I really recommend that.
Yeah.
Other than number one from DC that I picked up, which is my own fault. a few episodes ago, we spoke about Dark Days, the Forge.
We did.
Which I thought was a load of old nonsense.
We thought it was deep cut beyond the point of comprehension.
So in spite of that, I did go up and pick up the following one shot, which was The Casting, which... Again,
let's see what they've done there.
Yeah, kind of trod over what was already established in The Forge, which then leads us on to the first issue of a limited series, Dark Knights Metal, issue one.
Okay.
It's going to be eight issues? No, six issues. Goes on till February next year.
Right.
A million one shots. Well, about 20. The issues I had with the first issue. Issues? A lot of issues in that sentence. Are prevalent in this as well. For me, it felt like. They trod over the last two one shots and told the same story.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this idea that there's a whole metal that was from another universe, but it's not from another universe. They're saying it's like from a dark multiverse. So they're establishing, they're repeating what's been established in other comics where there's 52 universes. But what if there's another one? Behind it.
What if there's another one? What if there's 53? Why not 53?
Like a negative one. So it's like a dark multiverse is what they're setting up here.
Right.
And it kind of kicks off with your classic Justice League roster. So Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Cyborg, The Flash, Green Lantern, and Aquaman.
Yeah.
In a gladiator arena run by Mongol, sort of classic Superman villain. And they're taking on... A creature, each to take on creatures individually tailored to their power sets.
Okay.
I don't know, I just felt Batman uses ingenuity to kind of work out their weak spots and defeats them.
Yeah.
So that then leads into them going a full Voltron, where literally they each of their armors links up to one big giant thing.
I did not see that coming.
No. I saw that coming and I was like, I don't know. And then it kind of picks up the threads of this, you know, dark multiverse and digging into, like, Hawkman's heritage and his history. And they track down this book that's actually in Bruce Wayne's library. And they're kind of linking in the fact that maybe Bruce Wayne's heritage and his history and his family line are tied into this dark multiverse. And then this other side, there are this dark army coming, which all look like different takes on Batman. So that's... I think this is going to be... the one shots that are going to come out.
Right.
They've got something called, like, got stuff called, like, Batman the Red Death, Batman the Murder Machine, Batman the Dawnbreaker. And it just sound Batman the Drowned, you know, and they all look like dark versions of Batman blended with Justice League archetypes. So it just seems like an excuse to do spin off one shots.
Yeah.
But the kind of the big moment in this is that it ends with an appearance from Neil Gaiman's Sandman. Thus bringing him into modern continuity.
That is?
With his blessing, apparently.
That is big news. I would have thought we would have heard more about that.
Yeah, it was kind of under wraps until I think it came out. And if you haven't seen this yet, we've just bought it for you anyway.
Yep, sorry, spoilers.
It's been almost a month since it's been out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I picked up the first one. I am probably going to pick up the next couple because I'm kind of just morbidly curious if it's going to have more to it.
Right.
Yeah, it just seems like, I don't know. But I would say it's marginally better than Marvel's current series of one-offs.
Mm-hmm.
So as we record this, mm-hmm. we've got one more issue to go for Secret Empire,
right,
which has been interminably long, and I will speak about it in more length I think once it's out finished. I have opinions,
mm-hmm.
but I want to wait till it's finished.
Fair.
So this is then going to lead into, as I understand it, something called Legacy, which Marvel are proclaiming will rejuvenate Marvel Comics for a whole new generation. And it's like they're quite deservedly have had a bit of a kicking for some of their claims, like this is going to be the most groundbreaking things ever happened, and they announced it by just showing you loads of like covers which were just like, you know, takes on classic Marvel comics. It's like that's hardly going to revolutionise the industry, guys.
Yeah.
But they're kind of, a sideline to this is something called Generations, where they're taking modern characters or legacy characters and they're meeting their earlier incarnations. The four I picked up are Jean Grey and Phoenix. So this is the current continuity Jean Grey, who has been brought forward from the past. So I guess she's like 18, 19. And then she meets, for some reason, they haven't explained it yet, for some reason she's just cast back in time to meet Jean Grey the Phoenix from the classic 80s era before she goes bad and wipes out an entire planet.
Again, so impenetrable for the
I'm not sure, and again I don't know who this is aimed at, so that's the Phoenix one. That on its own, I just, the look on your face is like, yeah, I know. Well, who's this aimed at? The other one we've got is the classic Banner Hulk meets the modern totally awesome Hulk, as he's called, with Amadeus Cho. And it's, you know, Amadeus Cho's awesome Hulk ends up going back in time, and it's a generic Hulk battle where the Hulk's being pursued across the desert by, you know, General Ross and the army.
Yeah,
it's like stuff you just, it's like the generic kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's that one. I'll come to that in a minute, actually. Then we've got the Mighty Thor, which is your Jane Foster as Thor.
Yeah.
Meets the Unworthy Thor, as he's called now, which is like...
is that what they're calling him?
They're calling him
Unworthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy.
But this is before he became unworthy, sort of. This is set during the Viking era of history. And it's Vikings go to Egypt and then get their asses kicked by Apocalypse.
Fair enough.
And so Thor... Actually, no, he technically is unworthy because it starts off with him trying to lift the hammer in Asgard and he's like, not quite there yet. He's lifting it up. Mm. And he's like, no, you're not worthy yet, son.
It's almost as if he was in the room.
Yeah, yeah. And he hears a call and it's like the Vikings going, oh, we want Thor to help us. Come to us, our God. And so he turns up, but then Jane Foster, Thor, also turns up. And she's being called from the future, and they meet, and like, your unworthy Thor's like, what, a woman? And she's wielding Mjolnir. What? Wait a minute, I can't even lift it up. What's going on?
See, I'm actually quite into this one.
This one's all right, actually. Yeah. This one's okay, and the artwork's great. It's by Mahmoud Ashar, and I just thought it's worth a flick through. I thought it was really good fun.
Mm.
But again, there's an issue with this that I'll come to. Okay. And then you've got All New Wolverine, which is your clone Wolverine, Laura Kinney meets Logan, who in current continuity he's dead.
Yeah.
And it's old man Logan in current continuity, but he's from a parallel future or something.
Mm.
So this is like classic yellow and black wearing Wolverine taking on the hand ninjas in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Trying to rescue his niece.
Mm.
So this is probably, if you want to be really kind of pick an era, this is probably late 80s, early 90s continuity Wolverine.
Yeah.
And so with all of these, they all kind of meet and they go, oh, what, you look familiar, and who are you, and what's going on? And then they end up teaming up.
Mm.
And I think the point of this, from what I understand, is that there's supposed to be some kind of revelation, some kind of character-based thing where there's a moment where the current continuity character is supposed to come away from this adventure with a whole new rejuvenation or a new angle.
Yeah,
so with the Hulk one, the point of the Amadeus Cho Hulk is he's kind of like having fun.
Yeah.
He's a science genius and he's you know, he's loving it. He's like, I've got his power, this is cool, you know, but I'm not like a monster in the sense that Banner Hulk was kind of rage, uncontrollable rage, and Banner was like, oh, I'm so tortured, I feel so bad, you know, I can't control this. And it's clunky as hell because it ends up with Amadeus Cho having this revelation that, oh no, I'm angry too.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm a bit uncontrollable. It's like
the opposite of where we want to go. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also like, well, so basically, you're saying this different take on the character is now no longer different. It's exactly the same as the other version. So what's the point? Makes it redundant. And with Wolverine, the takeaway on this is the Logan is supposed to be come away thinking, oh right, you know, maybe I should spend more time with my family. But it's pointless because this current continuity Logan is dead. So I didn't quite get that. And it's not, you know, so for Laura Kinney to come away from this adventure, there was no benefit from that for her. The Thor one is the unworthy Thor leaves that adventure thinking, oh, you know, one day I'll be worthy. So that's great. And Jane Foster goes, you know, comes away thinking, oh, because her thing is that she, as Thor, she stays alive, but every time she becomes human, like the cancer she's got is killing her.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of like caught between wanting to be Thor all the time. And then it's like, well, you know, maybe I should, yeah. Thank you for reminding me what it is to be Thor and, you know, how amazing it is, because, you know, she looks at how the Vikings react to Thor and is like, oh, no, there's more to you than I thought. And this is a privilege. Just having this name is an honour and a privilege. And this is the only one out of all the ones I've read so far that actually has some kind of tie into this legacy series.
All right.
Where you see Odin back in the Viking era.
Yeah.
Meeting up with the Phoenix entity.
Okay.
So not Jean Grey. This is the entity that possesses her.
Mm.
And it turns out that her and Odin, or it and Odin rather, had a kind of romance or something. Oh. And it ends with a shot of like a young Odin like snogging this Phoenix fire spirit. So it's literally retroactively redoing continuity to make out the Phoenix has been around for like millennia and used to get off with gods.
So this is all, they're all one shots?
All one shots. There's nothing binding them together. And like the preamble they have is basically, they call it the vanishing point.
Ah.
Which is something that's not, I imagine this might be something that's going to be in the end of Secret Empire.
Yeah.
This is something that Marvel has a problem with, where they start a series and it gets delayed or doesn't get finished, and then something else starts concurrently, but you're supposed to read the other series first.
Yeah.
You're supposed to finish, so it's all a bit messy. So this vanishing point is like, it's just text at the beginning. It just says the vanishing point. An instant apart, a moment beyond, loosed from the shackles of past, present and future, a place where time has no meaning, but where true insight can be gained. Make your choice, select your destination. This journey is a gift. And you think, all right, that's a nice bit of marketing spiel. Doesn't mention it at all in the comic. Literally, it will set up the characters doing whatever they're doing and suddenly the other character appears with no explanation of where they come from. And it just ends with the modern era character disappearing. You know, just teleporting away and going, oh, I'm going, oh. It's like, where have you come from? What is it? It's almost like you feel you've missed a one shot that sets up this thing that is the vanishing point.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, it's just marketing spiel. So I don't know who this is aimed at. If it's aimed at getting new readers in, it's utterly failed, because it's like, you'll just get that and go, this is not the Thor I know. Who is this other one? What's going on? Oh, I've got to buy another comic in September called Marvel Legacy.
Yeah.
And again, all the other ones, it's just, I just think they absolutely biffed it. So we've got more to come. We've got, Miss Marvel, two Miss Marvels, Captain Marvel, Captain America's as well. Basically, all your major characters are going to have their version of Generations. But yeah, I don't know.
It might be quite interesting to see how they tie up Captain America with his recent naughtiness.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I said about, I don't want to talk about Secret Empire yet until I've read the final issue.
Yeah.
Because it's going, at the moment, it's kind of going in a weird metaphysical direction. So
I mean, it seems to have some, it seems to have some strange fan service that I could quite get into. But yeah, I'm not sure what
it does. Same thing, but I was up for it, and I'm just like, this seems half-assed. Like, the best one is the Thor one. But it just seems like, because it's written by Jason Aaron, who's currently writing Thor, it's clearly like, this feels like it's part of his run.
Yeah.
Whilst the others are just, they're just literally standalone in the worst possible sense, where there's no repercussion, there's no There's no reason for you to read that. It's they're nothing stories. That's harsh, isn't it? That's sound harsh, right?
Well, you are entitled to your opinion.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. That's your generations.
Speaking of generations,
right?
I'm moving on now to Bane Conquests. Oh. Bane is back from his original writer.
Ah, yeah, Chuck Dixon.
So Dixon is helming another Bane story. This one's called Bane Conquest.
Okay.
And it's sort of come off the back of the recent Batman run where Bane has, like, laid siege.
Yes.
So we find the most recent take of Bane on his prison island. Batman had to use his own version of the Suicide Squad to get in there. For reasons that would take too long to explain, but it was good.
Yeah,
and that ticked Bane off because Bane is a proud man, and so Bane had a bit of a rampage, which is great.
Yeah,
and because it's like modern era Batman, they've sort of borrowed a little bit from Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah,
basically, the crux that I'm cutting to here is most people's Bane nowadays certainly isn't the Batman Forever Bane. And it's not Nightfall Bane, it's Tom Hardy Bane, which I love. Fucking love.
Totally agree. I was never a Bane fan in the comics. It's the whole Mexican wrestler shtick just felt clunky as hell, you know?
Yeah. So based off the recent Batman eras, I was totally up for a story called Bane Conquest to see, you know, again, Dixon's character, see what he does with it. Some of it is incredibly dark.
Okay.
And then some of it, like you say, stays true to, like, the luchador wrestler. And it just, again, there's just some big tonal things in here that don't quite cut right. I feel bad saying that because it's his character.
Yeah.
But it's just, we all want Tom Hardy Bane.
Yeah.
And this isn't it.
I always hear his voice when I read it in the current comics. I know in the current comics he's not wherever Tom Hardy character came from.
Is arisen from, but like that's kind of what you want, but this one's very much like, haha, Batman, it is me, Bane.
It's very good.
Thank you very much. And so midway through the run, Batman and Bane are thrust together and they have to work together as partners. And it's okay. Again, it's kind of like fan service. It's like, remember that time where you broke my back?
I got over it.
Now we have to work together to get a common enemy that threatens Gotham, because I'm Gotham's protector. And Bane's like, I think you'll find that Gotham belongs to me, Ben. Don't know what that was.
It's good. I'm still with it.
But sort of like it doesn't, when you're doing Batman, there's certain lines you can't cross. Again, many people had issues with Justice League, Batman, Superman, Justice League, Batman, because he kills people.
Hell yeah.
that was a bit of a sticking point. And in this one, like, he sort of gives Bane carte blanche. He's like, right, I'm going to go and sneak up this air duct and do sneaky ninja Batman stuff on people. Yeah. And he's like, and I will machine gun lots of people, Batman. And you're like, it is great to see Bane on a rampage. Machine gunning people, but at the same time, Batman's like, try not to kill anyone. He's like, we'll try. Like, literally.
In playing the devil's advocate, who is he killing? Is it like bad people?
Yeah, he's killing bad people. Like, they're up against like another sort of generation of basically general bad guys.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the things it does get across very well is Bane is Batman's equal.
Mm.
Like, they've never lost that. Like, Bane's always intellectually superior. Well, not superior. On
a par. He's a military tactician, isn't he? It's what they kind of...
Yeah, he is in this, but it's fun. Like, so they frequently have Batman and Bane. Despite being partners, they fight each other. They team up again and again and again. They keep falling out and having a scrap. But yeah, it just... So often Bane just gives into basically Venom, and keeps falling back in his own ways. He gets sort of Venom rage and keeps messing up, and it's just
a bit more rich, isn't it? It's like cocaine, isn't it?
It's very delicious. It's very delicious. Yeah. But yeah, I gave up halfway through. I was just like, I got a lot of time for Bane and I've got a lot of time for what he does, but. Just again, tonally, if it's going to be Batman, I can't really break away from the main run of Batman. I find
which is exceptionally good.
Which is really, really good. Mm. Really good. Again, like, the main run of Batman right now has huge swaths of, like, fan service.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily no bad thing. But this one is just too totally off for it to work for me.
Does it feel like it's set in the current continuity, or does it just feel like it's a standalone?
It feels like set in the current time. Right. But just the way the characters carry themselves and the actions that they take just aren't... They just jar a little bit.
Okay.
And it just doesn't quite work.
So you've got two issues and it's 12 issue run?
Yeah, I think it's... of 12, I got about as far as 4.
Oh, okay. Right.
And I'm just like, you know what? I'll swing by when it's collected
sure. And
see how it picks up. But right now, I'm just like, I'm reading it and it's making me put it down going...
So it's not the Bane series you were hoping for.
It's not Tom Hardy Bane. It's not Bane in a sheepskin jacket going, oh yes, I'll take Gotham, thank you very much.
See, I kind of thought they missed a trick a little bit. With the rebirth, they just didn't take that version of him. But maybe he's not as popular as he is with just us.
What, Tom Hardy Bane?
Yeah. Because I just thought, you know, when I read him in the current Batman series, the Suicide and I Am Bane.
Yeah.
It was like, oh no, he's definitely Luchador again. Which I've never liked. I just thought it was just laughable.
Mm.
It kind of worked in the Arkham Knight video game series. It was alright.
Because you got him sparingly.
Yeah.
He was like, we're going to have a fight now.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let's fight Bane. That's quite cool.
But yeah, I don't know. Missed a trick on that one. But then fair play for not kowtowing to
us.
Modern sense. Well, no, but also modern like modern takes. Like, you know, Marvel seemed to wholesale change the visuals and change the kind of dynamic of characters if they're doing well on the big screen.
Yeah.
But I get that. I mean, maybe it's my PR and marketing head, but I kind of think, well, that's quite good because you want to, you know, maybe that'll appeal.
Yeah.
People coming off the street. But then saying that, I was chatting to a comic book store owner when I went back to my hometown in Bournemouth recently. And I hadn't seen him for years. And I was asking him, you know, so you're still here? It seems to be going all right. And he was like, I said, oh, you know, are you seeing... like, you know, people coming in from the movies now, and he's like, no, not at all.
Really?
No, is it not at all? Yeah, just not, you know, doesn't happen. So it's kind of, I like the fact that Marvel are kind of following a kind of continuity with the movie stuff, but I'm kind of curious whether his experiences are kind of global, where comic stores are not getting the benefits from that at all. So it's like, if they're not getting the benefits from it, why follow that?
Every time I read or hear about comic stores now, and we've experienced this ourselves, they just seem to default to selling Funkos.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where a lot of their income comes from.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess a lot of people who are buying the comics from a casual perspective are just getting collected editions.
And do you think, like what you were saying there, like, again, the Marvel one-shots and the way that, like, DC, like, we've got this offshoot of Bane that isn't connectable to people that watch the movies. Do you think it's just... they need to work harder. Both of the big two need to work harder to make it more accessible.
Definitely. I think DC, although I'm not as reading as much DC, I know with Rebirth they had success with that. And I hold my hands up and I didn't think it would work. I thought that Rebirth one-shot was total fan service. Just completely inaccessible to anyone coming off the street. It's done all right. You know, Rebirth is doing all right. Consistently doing okay.
Yeah.
Marvel... you know, as loyal of Marvel fan as I am, and I love the characters and I love the universe, they are absolutely, like, making a hash of stuff. Like, this Marvel Legacy relaunch or, you know, rejuvenation they're pitching. The reason why I think Rebirth was such a success was because of pricing as well. That one shot was, like, a few dollars or a couple of quid.
Mm.
Like, Legacy, they're putting it out as, like, $6 and less pages.
Yeah,
you know, and I just think there's a reason why that did well, because it was on more of an impulse, I think, with Rebirth. When you're going to start charging like $6 for a book that no one quite knows what it's about, like, that doesn't even seem that the editorial team seems to know what they're really about either.
Yeah,
because off the back of this, you're going to get this whole legacy numbering thing as well, where they're going to, you know, change the numbering of comics and what they would have been if they'd had, you know, had no relaunches. So, and the numbering doesn't even add up. There's a whole there's a whole side story to that where you've got, you know, like Deadpool, they've literally added up all the issues that have come out and then given it a new number, so it, I don't know, like,
really? Seven, yeah.
But it doesn't actually add up, because you look at it and go, well, hang on, you've included this limited series but not this limited series, or you've included that run, which was technically a run of Cable and Deadpool. So you added those up, but then with Cable, you haven't added up the Cable and Deadpool issues, but you did with Deadpool.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, there's no consistency. And it seems a kind of a scammy way of getting close to a milestone.
Mm.
So some issues you'll see their new numbering will be like, oh, we're now on 692. Only 8 months to go to issue 700, you know, and it just seems that they're going to get those milestones and then we'll just do a relaunch again and revert back to number ones. So who is that? Who is it aimed at? Is it aimed at nerds like me who have original runs? Because it's like, for me, it's like, I don't care. Lots of stories are good. Mm. Just stop dicking about and just be consistent.
Yeah.
You know, because you know they're going to, they've done this before over the decades where, you know, something like Fantastic Four has been relaunched. And then they went back to legacy numbering just so they can get to like a milestone issue. And then they go on for a couple of months and then it's like, bang, we relaunch it again.
This is very, very hard to choose when you're going to relaunch, if at all. Mm. Like, it's, again, I suppose my heart goes out to them because it must be so hard to like get a casual fan on board. Like, especially when you do something like, you know, Secret Empire. Like, you've just come out of watching, you know, the latest Avengers film and you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't understand. And again, like, for a new fan, you've got to wait about a year for the run to come out to, like, even, like, be able to digest it all. Very difficult.
No, it is. I think, again, maybe next episode we'll talk about Secret Empire, which will be done by then.
Yeah. We've got our little cubes.
Yeah, got our little
We've got little cubes. Promotional cosmic cubes. Yeah, lovely.
Mine's
glows in the dark. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, might be the best thing about that series.
We'll see. We'll see. Tune in next time for more. Speaking of which,
that's it.
We should wrap this up. Next episode, we might have Carly back with us. We'll see. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can. It's BAM Comics Cast. You can also find me, Neil Gortz with a Z. Stu, where can they find you?
You can find me under Stu Narmi.
Yeah, you can. We're also on Facebook, so come and stop by, say hello. If you are listening to us on some kind of Apple phonic device, please do remember to leave us a review and rate us.
And subscribe.
Please subscribe. If you give us a 5-star, which of course you will, do send us a screenshot of it and you could be in for winning some of Stu's stash, which is literally pouring out of the cupboards. It's a fire hazard, basically. You'll be doing us a favour. Exactly. So, please do that. And until next time, we'll see you next time.
That's good words. Good words.
Smooth as the intro was, right?
Right.
All right. See you later, everyone. Bye.